My Beloved Masters, composed by Srila Bhakti Vigyan Bharati Goswami Maharaj. Shishimad Bhakti Hriday Van Goswami Maharaj, meeting Gaudiya Math devotees. During his time in college, Shishimad Bhakti Hriday Van Goswami Maharaj, then Shri Narendra Bandopadhyay, was an exceptionally bright college student, well liked by both teachers and students. He displayed a natural aptitude for drama and theater, and because he had studied in an English medium school, he was fluent in English. Shri Narendra was his father's 10th and youngest son and was also very dear to him. After he finished his collegiate studies, his father fell seriously ill, and due to this, some of the family moved from their village and rented an apartment in Gandharia Pali, Dhaka, where his father had been admitted to the hospital and was undergoing treatment. Soon after their move, however, Shri Narendra became aloof from virtually all social activities. He suddenly found himself unconcerned for the affection of his family and friends. Instead, he nourished his increasingly growing compulsion to find a bona fide guru, perform Krishna bhajan, and thereby make his life worthwhile. Bhagwan makes all kinds of arrangement for those who sincerely seek after him. And so around this time, as a result of his powerful Bhakti Unmukh Sukriti, spiritual fortune that leads one towards the path of Bhakti, Shri Narendra somehow came in contact with the devotees of Shri Madhva Gaudiya Math in Dhaka. There, Shri Narendra heard about Srila Prabhupada's extraordinary glories, and before long, he decided to set out for Kolkata to have a glimpse of his holy feet on the pretext of picking up medicine for his father. At Shri Gaudiya Math, Kolkata, Shri Narendra Bandopadhyay obtained the audience and inexhaustible affection of Srila Prabhupada, whose powerful Harikatha inspired him to begin a new life. He decided not to return to Dhaka at all, and instead arranged for someone to deliver his father's medicines while he remained at the Math in Kolkata. After further hearing Srila Prabhupada's Harikatha for some days, Shri Narendra Bandopadhyay requested Srila Prabhupada for Harinam and Mantra Diksha. According to the verdict of scriptures, both guru and disciple must examine one another before establishing a formal relationship based on initiation. Therefore, before giving his sanction, Srila Prabhupada examined Srila Narendra by asking him to compose an article in his own words, conveying some of what he had assimilated. Shri Narendra carefully wrote an essay titled Atmiya Ke, means who is one's own. Although the word Atmiya is generally interpreted as relating to either gross or subtle body, Shri Narendra explained it in relation to the soul, Atma. There Shri Narendra Bandopadhyay deeply understood such a grave subject matter in only a short time indicates he must have associated with sadhus either earlier in his current life or in his previous lives, for it would have been otherwise impossible. Srila Prabhupada was so pleased by Shri Narendra Bandopadhyay's essay that he had it published in his weekly Gaudiya magazine, year 2, issue 48, 26 July 1924. In this way, Shri Narendra Bandopadhyay passed his test. Shortly after, he received Pancharatrika Diksha from Srila Prabhupada and became known as Shri Nanda Suno Brahmachari. Once he received Diksha initiation from his Gurupad Padma, Shri Narendra Suno Brahmachari constantly strived at every moment to adhere to the concept of Visham Brahena Guru Seva, performing intimate service to Shri Guru without hesitation or reservation. Shri Nanda Suno Brahmachari was never seen diverting his attention from his effort to serve Shri Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas to indulge in sense gratification even for a second. preaching under Srila Prabhupada's guidance. On 29 January 1925, the day of Sri Vishnu Priya Devi's appearance, a pilgrimage tour of Sri Gaurmandal commenced under the guidance of Srila Prabhupada. During the expedition, Sripad Nandasuno Brahmachari spoke in many places as ordered by Srila Prabhupada and executed countless other services for Sri Guru and Vaishnavas, thereby becoming the recipient of his Sri Guru Pad Padma's profuse love and affection. That year, on 4 September 1925, he accepted Tridanda Sannyas at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and became known as Tridandi Swami Srimad Bhakti Hriday Van Goswami Maharaj. One of Srila Prabhupada's cherished pursuits was to impart the message of pure devotion through the medium of his spiritual Sat Shiksha Padarshani exhibitions. Srila Van Goswami Maharaj was significantly involved in designing and decorating the exhibits in Sridham Mayapur, Kolkata, Dhaka, Patna, Kashi, Prayag and Kurukshetra. He was particularly involved in designing the dioramas of Sri Govardhan and the Sakhi's groves at Sri Radhakund for an exhibition in Sridham Mayapur. Revealing the heart of Srila Rup Goswami after an indication from Sri Guru. Every solar eclipse, hundreds of thousands of people journey to Kurukshetra to ritualistically take bath in Brahm Sarovar. But the deep import of this ritual remains unknown to the vast majority of these pilgrims. Once, sometime before such a solar eclipse, Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to Srila Van Goswami Maharaj in which he mentioned, Srimati Radhika will soon go to meet with Krishna in Kurukshetra, and so we have some service to perform there as well. Although the message was short and cryptic, Srila Maharaj understood that his Sri Guru Pad Padma wanted him to manifest to the whole world a confidential pastime, which previously appeared in the heart of Sri Rupa Goswami by the divine mercy of Sriman Mahaprabhu. To this end, during a month-long local fair in Kurukshetra, Srila Van Goswami Maharaj expertly created an exhibition with dioramas that beautifully depicted the following. Nanda Baba meeting with all the senior Brajvasis before a solar eclipse. The Brajvasis preparing to depart for Kurukshetra. The deep dark forest they encountered on their journey, being illuminated by the natural radiance of Sri Radha's body, which protected them against the attacks of wild animals. The Brajvasis meeting with the Dwarkavasis. Nanda Baba and Mother Yashoda's tearful reunion with Sri Krishna, who burrowed himself so deeply into Yashoda's lap that it appeared as if he were trying to merge into her. Everyone's bathing in Brahm Sarovar on the day of solar eclipse. The queens of Dwarika's proposal to donate to Narad Muni Krishna's weight in a precious substance during the solar eclipse, and Narad Muni's condition that he will take Krishna away with him should they be unable to match Krishna's weight. The queens of Dwarika, prideful acceptance of Narad Muni's proposal, followed by their inability to give him a sufficient amount of gold. They are weeping at the thought of Narad taking Krishna away. The advice of Mother Rohini to bring all the gopis headed by Sri Radha. Sri Radha replacing all the queen's gold with a single tulasi leaf on which she had written the name Krishna. That tulasi leaf outweighing Sri Krishna, thus establishing that Krishna Naam and Sri Krishna himself are non-different. It was the weight of tulasi leaf that tipped the scale. Sri Krishna meeting with the gopis in a secluded place on the pretext of falling ill and their subsequent conversation. Sri Radha complaining to Sri Krishna and his attempt to pacify her. The gopis demonstrating the insignificance of opulence, Aishwarya, in the face of the sweetness, Madhurya. The weeping of Sri Radha and Sri Krishna. The gopis pulling Krishna in his chariot back to Vrindavan. Sriman Mahaprabhu manifesting the mood of Sri Radha while dancing in front of Jagannath's chariot and ecstatically reciting a verse from a seemingly mundane poem. Ya Komara Hara Sa Eva Hi Varas Ta Eva Chetre Shapas Te Kon Milita Malati Sorabhya Prodaya Kadam Bananila Sa Chava Asmi Tathapi Tatra Surat Vepar Lila Vidho Reva Rodasi Vitasi Tarutale Cheta Samut Kantate Shri Chaitanya Chaitamrita Madhya Lila 13.121. He who has stolen away my youth is now my husband. These are the same moonlit nights in the month of Chaitra, when we first met in our youth. The same breezes from the Kadamba forest are blowing the same light, sweet fragrance from the blossoming Malati flowers. In our intimate relationship, I am also the same lover. Nonetheless, my heart is longing for the amorous, love-laden play of our first meeting at the foot of Vetasi tree on the bank of River Reva. Sri Rupa Goswami mentally composing a parallel verse that revealed the mood and intended meaning of Srimad Mahaprabhu's poetic recitation. Priya Soham Krishnaha Sahachari Kurukshetra Smilitas Tatham Sa Radha Tad Idam Ubhyam Sangam Sukham Tathapi Antah Khelana Madhur Murali Pancham Jushe Manome Kalindi Pulin Vipanayas Vrayati Shri Chaitanya Chaitamrita Madhya Lila 1.76. My dear friend, in this Kurukshetra is that very same Shri Krishna who had secretly engaged in amorous pastime with me in Vrindavan. I am also the same Radha, and the happiness of our meeting is still the same. But nonetheless, my heart is yearning for that very forest of Vrindavan, situated on the bank of Yamuna, where Shri Krishna used to continuously engage in his pastimes and play the fifth note of his charming Murali flute. Shri Rupa Goswami later writing this verse on a palm leaf and keeping it in the thatched roof of his bhajan kutir. Srimad Mahaprabhu's ecstasy upon finding and reading that verse and his admittance that Rupa Goswami was able to understand his heart because he had previously blessed him in Prayag. Next to each diorama, Srila Van Goswami Maharaj placed a brief description and also posted a devotee to further explain its depicted pastime. Srila Prabhupada was highly pleased by this arrangement. All those who attended the exhibition were endlessly grateful to have learned the real purpose of visiting Kurukshetra during a solar eclipse. It is exceedingly difficult for a disciple to understand the intentions of Sri Guru, who, being a sincere follower of Shrotavani, the teachings of the Vedas, which are often conveyed indirectly, relishes Prokshavad or indirect speech. Only his antarang disciples are capable of understanding the true intent meaning of his words. The term antaranga or internal refers to one who has proven himself to possess such firm faith that Sri Gurudev relies on him completely and without hesitation allows him to enter into the innermost chamber of his heart. Because Srila Van Goswami Maharaj was an intimate antaranga associate of Srila Prabhupada, he understood the true meaning of his Gurudev's mysterious instruction and was thus able to serve him in a way that fulfilled his heart's desire. His natural talent. Srila Van Goswami Maharaj had a natural, God-gifted talent for public speaking, which flourished even more by the mercy of Venerable Srila Prabhupada. He could speak without pause for hours on end in Bengali, Hindi and English. Srila Prabhupada awarded him with the title Vagmi Pravar, which means the greatest of orators. Through his mastery of language and his deeply devotional lectures, he connected many people with Srila Prabhupada. While delivering Harikatha, his eyes would move continuously like a gramophone. He often speak for hours on end, yet never suffered from issues with his throat, medical or otherwise, up to the very end of his life. Carrying on his head the gracious blessings and orders of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Van Goswami Maharaj constantly preached Shri Shri Guru Gauranga's divine message of pure devotion across India, from the Bay of Bengal to the Indian Ocean to the Himalayas. With dauntless enthusiasm and total fearlessness, by Srila Prabhupada's boundless mercy, Srila Maharaj assisted in establishing Gauriya Math branches in various places in India, including Madras, Kabur, where Sriman Mahaprabhu met Sri Rai Ramanand, Kashi, Naimisharanya and Kurukshetra, thereby rendering an invaluable service in propagating the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Dev. Sending a worthy preacher. The message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu concerns Jaiva Dharma, the innate propensity of all living entities, regardless of the country in which they happen to reside. Following the desires of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada did not want the preaching of this message to be limited to India alone. Thus, he met with Sri Rabindranath Tagore, who had recently returned to India after receiving a Nobel Prize in the West, and asked him, "In your opinion, to which Western country should we first send preachers to spread the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?" "None," the poet replied. "Many unscrupulous persons who earlier visited these places to preach Vedic Dharma have tarnished the image of sadhus. As a result, Westerners have lost faith in Indian saints." Srila Prabhupada then explained to him Sriman Mahaprabhu's message, and in particular made cutting remarks regarding the popular sects of Prakrit Sahajiyas or mundane sentimentalists who believe Sri Bhagwan is attainable through material means. After attentively hearing everything, Sri Rabindranath Tagore asked, "What exactly does the term Prakrit Sahajiya mean? I have never heard it, nor have I seen it in any dictionary." Srila Prabhupada explained, "The word Sahajiya is a highly sacred term. It refers to those truly pure devotees of Sri Krishna whose hearts are filled with a spontaneous, unconditional love and affection for Him that does not depend on the statements of scriptures that glorify Him as Bhagwan. The eternally perfect residents of Braj, like Sri Nand, Sri Yashoda, Srimati Radharani and others, are shiningly examples of such Sahajiya devotees. Nowadays, many unqualified conditioned souls try to imitate the moods of these transcendental personalities by deceitfully imposing such moods on their own character. Therefore, I use this word Prakrit Sahajiya to refer to such persons, because the prostitution of the words, that is, grossly misrepresenting the true meanings of the words in order to support one's vested interests, has now become common practice. These days, the vast majority of people are incapable of understanding the actual imports of the words, and so perversions of terminology often remain unchecked." Sri Rabindranath Tagore, being captivated and moved by Srila Prabhupada's presentation of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, said, "It is only if you yourself visit the Western countries that great success in preaching will be assured. Everyone will surely greet you with honor." Srila Prabhupada replied, "If I choose to send someone, it will be someone equally as qualified as myself." Srila Prabhupada was so proud of his worthy disciples' accomplishments that he resolved to send them across the oceans to the West. Thus, he determined to send Srila Van Maharaj and my Guru Maharaj, then Sri Hai Griva Brahmachari, for in his opinion, their personal conduct and ability to deliver the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as presented by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur mirrored that of his own. However, Guru Maharaj was prevented from going to the West, not only because he was needed in India for his expertise in preaching and his ability to maintain Srila Prabhupada's mutts through collecting sizable donations, but also because some of Srila Prabhupada's disciples felt his effulgent, youthful beauty made him a target for the affection of Western women, who had no understanding or appreciation of the celibacy of Indian sadhus. Thus, Sri Srimad Bhakti Pradeep Tirtha Goswami Maharaj was sent in his stead, renouncing even renunciation for the service of Srimad Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada once asked Sri Kunja Bihari Vidyabhushan Prabhu to buy an expensive pair of shoes for Srila Van Goswami Maharaj, who out of his natural renunciation never wore footwear during his stay in the mart. Sri Kunja Bihari Prabhu then brought those shoes, which cost 32 rupees, a considerable expense at that time, to Srila Van Goswami Maharaj with an instruction from Srila Prabhupada to appear before him wearing those shoes. When Srila Van Goswami Maharaj abided by this instruction and came before him wearing the shoes, Srila Prabhupada declared, "Today your renunciation has achieved perfection because you have renounced even your renunciation for the service of Srimad Mahaprabhu." Preaching in England and Germany. During Srila Prabhupada's previously mentioned conversation with Sri Rabindranath Tagore, Sri Rabindranath Tagore suggested, "If you are going to send your preachers to foreign countries, it would be best for them to first go to Germany, not England. This is because the German people are interested in our Vedic Indian philosophy, whereas the English have a superiority complex towards us. They consider us their subjects and feel we are inferior to them in every respect. They will not listen to your preachers, nor will they appreciate their message." When Srila Prabhupada mentioned this to Srila Van Goswami Maharaj, Srila Maharaj told him, "We must first preach where there is more difficulty. It is only when we are successful there that we will move on to the places where success is inevitable. I do not wish to waste the wealth of Srimad Mahaprabhu's service on mere sightseeing." Appreciating his view, Srila Prabhupada first sent him to England and later to Germany. In England, Srila Van Goswami Maharaj preached the message of Srimad Mahaprabhu at the universities of Oxford, Cambridge and Exeter, as well as at various establishments in London. At Oxford, he was invited to speak for just 15 minutes, but in that brief period, he so impressed his audience that he was invited to Buckingham Palace to address the Royal Assembly there. With the grace and permission of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Van Goswami Maharaj established the London Gaudiya Mission Society, and the Secretary of State for India, Lord Zetland, attended the inaugural ceremony as chairman. A number of affluent members of London High Society, being deeply interested in the notion of a true religion, initiated correspondence with Srila Prabhupada and posed various questions to him. The London Gaudiya Mission Society's main topic of discussion were Srila Prabhupada's answers, which arrived weekly in London by airmail. When Srila Van Goswami Maharaj wanted to preach in Germany, he was advised against speaking in English due to political tensions. He was given the option to speak either in his native language through a German translator or directly in German. Thus, Srila Maharaj opted to learn German, which he accomplished in only 6 months, after which he composed 2 books in German. As in London, his preaching in Germany met with great success. He delivered addresses at universities in Königsberg, Leipzig, Dresden, Berlin, and Munich, and was even invited to speak in cities in other countries, including Prague, Vienna, and Paris, where he was given special regard by His Majesty, the former Kaiser of Germany. Upon Srila Van Goswami's return to India in December of 1936, he was honored and celebrated by many distinguished Indian intellectuals of the time. He brought with him 2 German devotees who were eager to take shelter of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. One of these individuals later became known as Shripad Sadananda Swami. Thus, it was due to Srila Van Goswami Maharaj's preaching efforts that Srila Prabhupada commenced the initiation of Westerners into Gaudiya Vaishnav Dharma. Preaching in universities and colleges. Srila Van Goswami Maharaj was the first of Srila Prabhupada's disciple and possibly the first person in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to preach in universities and colleges. He considered that if young people were to accept the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then others would automatically accept it. This technique was later adopted by many Vaishnav acharyas. He was invited several times by various universities into the West to expound the speciality of Sri Bhagavad Dharma, the religion of worshipping the Supreme Lord as described in the Vedic canon. The prominent feature of his preaching was that he established the unparalleled speciality of Indian Vedic philosophy, specifically what was preached and practiced by Sriman Mahaprabhu. Srila Van Goswami Maharaj traveled to America twice, first in 1939, where he preached extensively across the East Coast, delivering lectures on Sri Gaur's message in the cities of New York, Boston, Stockbridge, Washington DC, and Philadelphia, and eventually made his way to Chicago in the Midwest. After this, he went to Japan and returned to India via Hong Kong. In 1960, he went to West Germany, Austria, Belgium, Holland, Denmark, Sweden, and various other places. Later, between 1974 and 1975, he again visited America to propound the glories of Mahaprabhu's philosophy. His translation of Sri Bhaktisrama Sindhu was accepted as a thesis by universities in America and Sweden, where he was awarded honorary doctorates in literature and divinity respectively. To train the youth of Braj about Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, specifically Sri Chaitanya Dev's Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, the inconceivable principle of simultaneously oneness and difference between the Supreme Lord and all that exists, he went to great lengths to establish the Institute of Oriental Philosophy in Sridham Vrindavan, as well as a primary school on the banks of Sri Pavan Sarovar in Sri Nandagram. Originally, he gave the Institute of Oriental Philosophy the name Vaishnav Theological University, but for various reasons, he was compelled to change it. His prolific literary contribution. After Srila Prabhupada's disappearance, Srila Van Goswami Maharaj lived somewhat independently and focused on writing several books in English, Bengali and Hindi, which included Vaikunth Pathe, On the Path to the Spiritual Realm, My First Year in England, Virahi Vedana, means the pain of separation, Gita, As a Chaitanya Reads It, Sri Chaitanya, The Search, My Lectures in England, and his translations of Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He also published the quarterly English magazine Indian Philosophy and Culture. During most of 1938, he lived in Ayodhya, studying the Vedas under the guidance of a scholar of the Yajurveda. There he wrote a book in Bengali called Veder Parichay, An Introduction to the Vedas. The Sons of Saraswati. Once, I went with a group of devotees to Srila Van Goswami Maharaj Math in Vrindavan to have his darshan. But upon our arrival, we learned he was unwell. Just as I was about to depart, after paying my respects outside his door, Srila Maharaj called me inside. He was a bit displeased that I was ready to leave without first seeing him. I explained, I did not want to bother you, since you are feeling unwell. I heard that your doctor has advised you to speak as little as possible. Srila Maharaj replied, Must I simply lay in bed and count the beams on the ceiling? Am I not to speak with the Vaishnavas? We are Saraswati Putra, the sons of Srila Bhakti Siddhant Saraswati Thakur. As long as we are speaking Harikatha, we feel healthy. It is when we are cheated of that opportunity that we truly feel ill. So, do you want me to be healthy or sick? Furthermore, the doctors of this world may prescribe us many instructions for our physical well-being, but we wish to follow the instructions of Sri Guru, the doctor concerned for our spiritual well-being, who mentioned No harm can come to one who properly takes the type of food that nourishes the soul. But one who avoids or takes an inadequate amount of such food and instead concerns himself with nourishing only the gross and subtle bodies invites sickness in the truest sense. Unfortunate is the day that we do not receive the chance to hear or speak Harikatha, which is the soul's sustenance. Nityam Bhagavatam Sevaya. The daily service of Srimad Bhagavatam is one of the primary limbs of bhakti. His love and respect for Guru Maharaj. Srila Van Goswami Maharaj was the chairman of the memorial assembly held after Guru Maharaj's disappearance. He wept the entire time he spoke, so much so that his speech was virtually incomprehensible. However, through the tears, he managed to say. Although Shripad Madhav Maharaj was junior to many of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, it was he who followed Srila Prabhupada's example fully in both his preaching and conduct. The rest of us have made small adjustments and changes along the way, but Shripad Madhav Maharaj never displayed such a tendency for change for even a single moment, neither in his personal conduct nor his preaching. When Guru Maharaj disappeared from the world, Srila Van Goswami Maharaj gave me many instructions on how to perform the Samadhi ceremony. He told me the size of the Samadhi should be 1 1/4 the size of the body of the recipient of Samadhi. That prior to covering the body with earth and salt, one must cover the body, including the head and face, with a new saffron colored cloth, so that the earth does not directly touch the body, and that the location of the Samadhi should be an adequate distance from the road, so that it need not to be moved if by chance the municipality tries to acquire part of the merged property in order to widen the road. Firm faith in Srila Prabhupada's guidance amid discomfort. In 1978, on the occasion of the first Vyas Puja of Srila Prabhupada to be celebrated at his appearance place in Puri, I was given the responsibility of arranging accommodations for all the invited devotees. I arranged 2 places for Srila Van Goswami Maharaj so as to provide him with an alternative option. One was a rather poor room in our Sri Chaitanya Gaudiya Math, which at that time consisted of an old building that had been acquired with the purchase of the land, and the other was a decent room with suitable amenities in Sri Srimad Bhakti Kumud Sant Goswami Maharaj's math. Naturally, disregarding any consideration of material comfort, Srila Van Goswami Maharaj preferred to stay at Srila Prabhupada's birthplace. Who knows how long I will stay in this material world, he told me. I may never again receive the opportunity to return to this place. It is better to stay where my spiritual master appeared and performed his childhood pastimes. I shall stay here, the place Srila Prabhupada decorated with his lotus feet. Hearing his decision to stay in our mutt, I quickly constructed a private latrine for him in only one night, using coconut leaves and a heavy rainproof cloth for the roof. Although the facilities in our mutt were quite meager, Srila Maharaj happily tolerated everything, thus demonstrating the depth of his Guru Nishtha. It was Srila Van Goswami Maharaj who performed the arati and all other aspects of the Vyas Puja celebrations. During Harikatha that evening, he said, "It will be a matter of great delight if from now onward the followers of Srila Bhakti Siddhant Saraswati Thakur Goswami Prabhupada continue to gather and celebrate his Vyas Puja here and his Tirobhav Mahotsav at his Samadhi Mandir in Mayapur." Srila Maharaj's desire is now being fulfilled. Annual festivals celebrating Srila Prabhupada's appearance and disappearance days are held at these locations in Sri Puri Dham and Sri Dham Mayapur respectively. Love for and dedication to his deities. Before leaving this world, Srila Van Goswami Maharaj constructed his own Samadhi so as to not trouble anyone or elicit any sort of service from his godbrothers or disciples. Additionally, he had a strong desire to remain close to the deities he established. He therefore feared that his disciples or godbrothers may choose to place him in some other location. For this reason, he arranged everything himself, thus exhibiting the extent of his dedication to and love for his deities.